today I want to talk about fear. I believe fear is something that's relevant in our lives today. It has been for years. I'm reminded of the Y2K thing. You remember that back in 2000? You know, basically the naysayers and, you know, prophets of the day were basically saying the world is going to come to an end as we know it. You know, all the nuclear reactors are going to melt down and explode. And, you know, so people went out and bought property out in the middle of nowhere and dug wells and bought generators and did all that. All for what reason? Because of fear. In other words, it was a fear-driven move. It wasn't faith-driven. It was fear-driven. And Y2K came and went. I don't even think there was one blip that I'm aware of, that I know of. And so, you know, all of that was just a bunch of talk, wasn't it? And we look at the different things that have happened over the last, you know, 20-plus years since then. All kinds of different things have happened and come and gone, right? You know, end-of-world prophecies, you name it, it's all happened. And I'm not here to say that the end won't come. It will come. You know, Christ is going to return. The end, we're closer to the end now than we've ever been. But for us to live in fear of what can happen is not good. We should live in faith of what God has already told us will happen. Amen? And so that's just so important for us as believers to keep that in mind. So here's the thing. When fear comes into your life, what are you? You know, there's a couple things that can happen. You either, you know, there's a saying, fight or flight. So fear comes, you either, you know, face it and do something about it, or you run away from it. But can I tell you, there's actually a third thing that happens. And this is something the Lord laid on my heart. And so you have fight or flight or freeze. In other words, literally, you do nothing. And that's what fear can do to people at times. It can paralyze you from doing anything. I'm reminded of the story, the account of Jesus when he had rose from the grave. It says, you know, the angel came and opened up the tomb. And remember the two soldiers that were there? They shook, and because of fear, just became comatose. So literally, they were frozen in place. Could you imagine that? So full of fear that happens. But here's the thing. In our lives today, there are many Christians that are frozen in fear. And I believe that God wants to help us not be frozen anymore. How many people have experienced that in their life at some point? Where literally, you're frozen. You're not sure whether to run, to fight, and literally, you're just frozen in place. Well, that can happen spiritually to us as well. So I want to look at the scriptures. I want to look at how Jesus deals with fear. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you are living in the false pretense that Jesus will keep you from everything that is difficult in life, then this sermon is going to mess you up a lot. It's going to mess with your theology. Because God is not about taking fear out of our lives. God is about us facing the fears in our lives and overcoming. That's the nature of our God. And so again, I say this with this in mind, that as parents sometimes, what we tend to do, I know I've done this, that when one of my children is going through a difficult time, that often what I will do is intervene. How many people have done that as a parent? And there's a time and a place to do that. But there's also a time and a place, and I say this as a premise to what I'm going to talk about, that we need to stand aside. And we need to let the fear happen. We need to let them work through what's going on in their lives. And in fact, I want to say this to you, if you're a parent today and you're watching or you're here, that sometimes we short-circuit the work of Jesus in individuals' lives when we step in and we make it easy. And we deal with the fear on their behalf. Jesus didn't always do that. Now, there's times to step in and there's times to step back. And we need to know what that is. And we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. So with that in mind, if you'll go to Mark chapter 4, it's going to be our basis of Scripture today. Jesus, at the beginning of Mark chapter 4, tells a whole bunch of parables. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And he would go on and share these different parables. And then at the end of sharing those parables, that's where we're going to pick up. So it's Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. I'm reading from New King James Version. So there's about six verses I'm just going to read, and then we'll go back and look at this. So on the same day, he had given out those parables, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat onto that boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow, what a great portion of Scripture. And you're going to see that Jesus had a purpose in this entire event happening, just as he has a purpose in every event, every storm, everything that happens in your life. There's a purpose in it if you're willing to grab hold of that. Amen? In fact, I dare say this, that the sooner you get the lesson, the sooner you can come out the other side. Amen? You know, sometimes we stay in the storm because we haven't got our bearings from the Holy Spirit to take us through it. So we end up kind of circling around over and over again, when the storm could be over much sooner if we would just listen to him. And we're going to see this in a few moments. But look back at verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come. You know, the evening had come, when you study out the original Greek, it means when the time of calm had come. You know, in the summertime, you know, it can be a breezy kind of day in the summer. And then here's what happens. What happens around 4 or 5 o'clock? If there's a wind, it normally kind of just dies down. So like it has to do with the sun going down and the way the wind is formed, all that. It just becomes quiet. And literally, that was in the time where Jesus said, let's get in the boat. It was all calm. You know, the Sea of Galilee was like a sea of glass, you know, and they climb into the boat. It's going to be an awesome time to cross to the other side, or so everybody thought. Except for Jesus, of course. We'll talk about that in a few moments. And so they get in the boat, but here's what I want you to see in verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Here's the thing. For you and I to be true followers of Jesus, there's times when we have to leave the multitudes to go with Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we physically have to leave our families and our friends? I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. I'm talking about the fact that the world has a certain way of thinking, a certain way of living. And there are times that if you want to be a follower of Jesus, that you need to decide to get into the boat with him and go where he's taking you. And that can be challenging in our faith walk. Because listen, we have the peer pressure of our family, you know, extended family, of our friends, of our neighbors, of our coworkers. All of that is going on all of the time in our lives. And we're being challenged all the time to what? Go their way. And yet here's Jesus saying, we need to leave the multitudes. We need now to go in a different direction. Are you willing to overcome the fear of judgment in your lives from those around you, the fear of maybe what family might say to you, the fear of different things in your life, to have the faith to get in the boat with Jesus? And you might say, well, if I'm a Christian, I'm in the boat already. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not at all. Every single day, you and I decide to get in the boat with Jesus. Every single day, we choose to go God's way or not. Think of the disciples. If the disciples are our example of Christians today, you see, what were they doing? Following Jesus around? And most of the time when Jesus said, go here or do this, they would do it. But what happened when Jesus was arrested? They all went their own way, didn't they? In other words, they didn't get in the boat with Jesus. And there are times in our lives when difficulties come where we choose not to get into the boat, into the lifeboat with Jesus, and go our own way. And I pity Christians that do that. Why? Because literally they are alone in the boat because they haven't chosen to get into the boat Jesus got into. And so often they miss out on all that God had for them. See, if we go on and read, and we're not going to today, when they get to the other side, signs and wonders and miracles happen on the other side. It's amazing what happens on the other side, but you got to get in the boat in order to get to the other side. So my first question to you today is this. Are you willing to get into the boat with Jesus, even if it means leaving the current way of thinking? Even if it leaves, you know, maybe your neighbors or your friends or your coworkers, they're doing a certain thing, acting a certain way. No, I'm getting in the boat with Jesus. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I remember when I was first born again, it was over 30 years ago, man, I was on fire for Jesus. I was crazy for Jesus, and I have no regrets about that. But I remember a relative of mine pulling me aside at an event saying, you know, it's okay about this Jesus thing, you know, but you know, you just got to like calm down a little bit, you know. And I remember that after they said that, it just came out of me. I said, He saved me. I've been changed. Jesus is like everything to me. There was nothing. I couldn't help myself. It literally just come out of me. And they're like, yeah, okay. And they walked away. But that same person years later came to me and said, I didn't know what you had, and I'm so excited now because I have it. And so the point is that there is a difference between us and the world. There is a difference between the multitudes and you and me. Not that we're better, okay? So it's not that we're above them and they're below us. It's not like that at all. It's just we're different. We're in a boat with Jesus. And we're crazy enough to even get involved in a storm with Jesus in the boat. Now imagine the people on shore. They see Jesus get in the boat with his disciples. It's all calm. They're about halfway out and then the storm comes. Imagine what some of the naysayers were maybe saying. What the multitudes were saying. Oh, yeah, look at those guys following Jesus, and he took them right into a storm. They're all going to die. You know, could you imagine? And that could be some of the multitudes in your life, some of the crowd that is a part of your life now, the naysayers. And they're speaking all kinds of things while you're involved in whatever storm is going on in your life. Oh, they were following Jesus, and look at the horrible thing they're involved with. Listen to me. I would rather be in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the worst storm ever with Jesus in the boat than on the shore by myself. And have you come to that place of real faith to say the same? You know, it's easy in church to say amen, and I'm glad you said amen. I love that support. But when you're in a real storm, you know, when something's going wrong in your relationships, when something's going wrong at school, when something's going wrong at work, and the storm is swirling all around you, are you still able to say, I'm in the boat with Jesus, and we're going to get to the other side? And that's what God wants you and I to get to in our faith walk with him. So as we go on and we look at this, verse 38, but Jesus was what? Asleep in the boat, right? On a pillow. How many people have watched the on YouTube, probably Velo and some of the other ones as well, but on YouTube you see a puppy or a kitten, and they're just sitting there, and you see them fall asleep, right? And they slowly tilt over, and then they fall asleep. It's the cutest thing to see, right? Well, let me tell you something. That's not what happened to Jesus. Jesus didn't fall asleep. He wasn't like, you know, sitting there in the boat and then slowly tilted over. It says he was asleep, what? On a pillow. In other words, he got on the boat. He had been ministering, done all kinds of preaching all day. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to have a nap. So he found a pillow, maybe found a little blanket. I don't know whether he needed that. I don't know how warm it was. And he curled up, and he purposely went to sleep. So there he is sleeping. Here's something you and I need to understand. Just because Jesus might be sleeping in your boat doesn't mean he's not aware of what's going on. All right? The natural man, Jesus, was asleep. But let me tell you something. The Spirit of God was very much alive and aware of what was going on. So the disciples, right? The storm's coming and the disciples start to go crazy. You know, and what do? They come to Jesus and they say at the end of verse 38, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Wow. You know, there's a saying that misery likes company. How many people have heard that? How many people also realize that fearful people like to have other fearful people around them? It's kind of weird, right? Think about that. You know, it's just strange. You know, if you're fearful, you want to have other people feel the same. It's weird. But I've seen this pattern over and over again. You look online, somebody puts some fearful thing up, and the more likes they get, the happier they are. Like, seriously? What is wrong with you? Like, come on, get over this thing. And so here we have these disciples afraid, literally scared, spirit, soul, and body, every part of them, every part of the fiber of their being. They're afraid for their life. Their boat is filling up with water. They're thinking this is the end. And Jesus is all calm in the boat, just, you know, sleeping. And they wake him up. Aren't you concerned? Don't you care? How many times have you and I prayed that way in our storm? Jesus, don't you see what's going on down here? Don't you see what I'm going through right now? Why, where are you? Why haven't you done something? How many times have we prayed that kind of prayer? I know I have. Guess no one else has. But I have. Lots of times over the years. Here's the thing. Just because Jesus is asleep in the boat doesn't mean he doesn't care. He just knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen. And he knows that if we will do what he directs us to do, everything's going to be okay. I have yet to find in the Bible, and if you find this, please let me know. I have yet in the Bible to find where Jesus gave instructions on something It didn't go the way he said it would go. And his disciples came and said, hey, Jesus, you know, why didn't that happen? He goes, oh, man, I forgot this other thing was going to happen. And oh, that messed up everything. Sorry, guys, I'll get it better next time. I have yet to find that in my Bible. And if you find it in yours, you come and show me. It's not there. Here's why. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, who was, and always shall be. That's the Jesus that you and I know. And if we really know him and we really trust him and really believe him, then he can be absolutely calm even in our time of fear. I'm going to ask you this question. What kind of fear do you have in your life? You see, there's two kinds. We're going to talk about this in a few moments. The kind of fear that is towards the world and the circumstances of the world, and the kind of fear we're to have towards God. And I'll bring that up again in a few moments. But as we look at this, what does Jesus do? Does he say, oh, I guess we're all going to die? He didn't say that, right? Said he arose and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he said, peace, be still. Now, what's amazing, when you look this up in the original language, it's almost treated like the storm is a person. You know, some people say, hey, this was the devil that caused this storm. That's all possible. That's possible. These kinds of storms happen on the Sea of Galilee. It's part of the nature of how the mountains are and where the sea is. But here's the thing. Whether it was the devil directly or not, it literally, in the original language, speaks of the fact that Jesus muzzled the storm. Like the storm wanted to keep going, but literally in the spirit, Jesus like put his hand over the storm's mouth and stopped it, subdued it, took control over it. It's pretty interesting. Peace, be still. Jesus spoke to the circumstances that were going on and changed them. And something unique happened. Jesus then says in verse 40, he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? Remember, I talked about two kinds of fear. They're both right here in verses 40 and 41. Two different Greek words. The first fear says, why are you so full of fear? It's the kind of fear that you have towards your circumstances. And then it goes on and says, they were in fear and awe. In fear and awe of who? Jesus. Well, that Greek word is reverential fear. So I want to ask you today, which fear is stronger in your life? Because it's going to be reflected by your actions and your words and your thoughts. In other words, if your fear is towards your circumstances, then that's how you're going to live. That's where you're going to be. But if you have a fear of who God is, the same God that can make a storm stop, the same God that can bring blind eyes to be able to see, the same God that can raise people from the dead, that reverential fear that God is God and can do anything, if that fear is greater than the fear you have for the world, let me tell you something, you're going to do some great things in God. The question is, which fear is stronger? And you can't have both. In fact, Jesus says this in verse 40. He says, why are you fearful and how is it that you have no faith? So literally, he's saying, if you're full of the world's fear, you cannot have faith. They literally oppose one another. And so as you begin to lose fear in this world, you grow in faith in him. Now, why do I believe that? Because of the context of the scripture. Remember I told you that it all started out with parables that were being spoken about? Well, the last two, just before he said, let's get into the boat, was about seed. He talked about the parable of the small seed and how there's a seed that gets planted. A farmer plants a seed and how it night and day comes. And the farmer doesn't know what happens, but after a while, it grows and he's able to harvest it. And then the next parable is about the parable of the mustard seed. How many people have seen a mustard seed? It's not very big, is it? It's just little. You hardly see. You almost need a magnifying glass to see it. Yet when you plant that little seed, one of the smallest seeds, it grows to be one of the biggest plants. Literally can grow into like a small tree where birds can land on it. It's unbelievable. So that's what Jesus talks about just before he says, let's get into the boat. Well, what was Jesus doing? He was practicing what he was preaching. He was talking about the fact that God's word. Sandra, can you bring up the hand mic for me? He was talking about the fact that God's word is seed. Thank you. I've got a loose wire, and I am not going to let it stop me. Amen. Can you bring up the volume on this just a little bit for me? Thank you. Amen. And so he was talking about the seed. And what is the seed? When you look at Scripture, the word for seed always speaks of God's word. Well, Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And so literally, here's Jesus practicing that the kingdom of heaven is like a little seed. It's like a little word from him, a little word from the Bible, a little word from the Holy Spirit. But what has to happen for it to grow in our lives, it has to be applied. In other words, you got to go through a storm with that seed to see how it grows. And that's why God isn't afraid to take you and I through storms in life. It's the safest place to be. It's the most growing time in our lives. Now, how many people like sunshiny days? I'm going to be honest with you. I wish this morning was a sunshiny day. There'd be a lot more people here today. All right? But here's the thing. When do you grow spiritually? On your sunshiny days when there's no pressure, when everything's okay? No. You and I grow when the storms are happening, when the winds and the waves are pelting against us, when adversity is happening. That's what causes us to cry out to God, to say, God, I need more of what you've got. Not the sunshiny days. The sunshiny days are the respites between the storms. And if you've been in your life any length of time, you know that that's how it is. You have sunshine, you have a storm. You have sunshine, you have a storm or two. That is life. How many people figured that out? You got over that. I hope no one brought you to Christ and said, listen, your life will be perfect from this day on. You will have no more problems whatsoever. How many people figured out that was a lie? You know what I'm saying? But here's what that person should have said. You know, life is going to happen, but from this point on, you will not be alone in your lifeboat. Jesus will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Now that you can take to the bank. That you can know that is a promise from God that he'll always be there for you. And it says that, if you look those scriptures up, if you're interested in Joshua 1 verse 5, God said to Joshua before they went to the promised land, before they crossed over, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Wherever the sole of your foot touches, you will have. And then we see that same promise to us in the New Testament in Hebrews 13 verse 5. Again, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So it's both in the old covenant and in the new, which just brings confirmation that that crosses both places, that for you and I as New Testament believers, that's a promise from God. The question is, he will never leave you nor forsake you. But will you leave him and forsake him? See, that's the other side of it. In other words, are you going to get in the boat or not? See, for us as believers, we choose every day to be in the boat. And so with that in mind, I want to leave just a couple of thoughts for you. Again, this is to inspire you and encourage you that though we live in a fear-filled world, we don't have to live the same as the rest of the world. So the first point is this. Jesus took the disciples out in a boat, knowing the storm was coming. You know, the wind and the waves are a part of our spiritual journey. It's to take us out of our comfort zone so we can learn to trust him. So the storms are part of our training. Again, did God bring the storm? I don't think so. I don't think that that was how it worked. I think Jesus was aware the storm was coming, and I believe he strategically said to his disciples, let's go. We're going out right now. And so God didn't make this. It's not that God's some weird sadistic person to say, look, I want to make your life miserable so I can display my glory to you. That's not what I'm talking about here. But what I am talking about is that God will use nature, God will use circumstances, God will even use the devil to bring honor and glory to himself. The key is, are you in the boat with Jesus? That's the important part. All right? He's aware of these things, and get over it. Don't, please. Stop praying, God, why is this happening to me? Stop that. Just stop that. Let's get past that step, okay? As mature believers, start saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Get past the point of whining and whinging of something happened. Get past that. Say, Lord, it's happening. What do you want me to do? And just believe that he's there with you and he'll help you to get through it. Because if you stay at step one, just asking the thing, why, God can't show you the how to get through it. Amen? And so I just encourage you with that. I know that sounds harsh. I'm just being real because I used to be that guy screaming, God, why? I did that for years in my early years. And guess what? God had to wait until I came to the place of saying, Lord, now what? How do I go forward? And so I'm trying to save you some years of storms that maybe you could avoid. Amen? Okay. Now, I note here, I just had this in my notes. Almost every time Jesus was in his boat with his disciples, there was a storm or the winds were contrary. It like was always. If you look, every time he got in a boat, there was a problem. Here's why. When God wants to take you to the other side of something, there will always be pushback. The enemy, circumstances, people, you name it, will be pushing back. There'll be adversary. There will be contrary winds for you to get to the other side. And you still need to choose to stick with Jesus because he promised you're going to get to the other side. Amen? All right, Jesus is with you the entire time. We've already talked about that, right? No matter where you are in life, Jesus is there. You're never in the boat alone. Stick close to him. Word of God says Jesus sticks closer than a brother. Jesus wants us to grow in faith. We're not here to be bumps on a log. We're not here just to enjoy the pleasures of this life. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I want to be careful. I'm not saying that God wants us all to crawl into a cave and pray, you know, and just, you know, eat bread and water. I'm not suggesting that. There may be times we should do that. I don't know, you know, if God directs you. But the point is, that shouldn't be our aim in life. Our aim in life is to be in the lifeboat with Jesus, to see him glorified in our lives. And that means we need to grow in faith. That's just the way it is. All right. And this is the final point. And this is the one that's so, so important. Remember the words of Jesus. At the very start of this entire story, what does he say? We're going to the other side. He said that. So here's the question. Do you believe the Bible or not? Do you believe that your future is secure in Jesus? Do you believe, as Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? If you believe all of that, then listen to me. You're going to get to the other side of whatever's going on in your life right now. God will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. We have actually a song that we sing, which is right from the scriptures that says that over and over and over again. I can't encourage you enough with this. He said you're going to get to the other side. Let me prophesy over you right now. You will get to the other side of whatever circumstance you're in right now because he will make a way as you cling to him. No matter how big the waves are, no matter how much the wind is, you will get to the other side. Let's stand together. Grab your communion cup. Rachel, you want to come on up if you'd like? So just as we begin to bring this to a close, where are you in your faith journey? Does fear still dictate your decisions? Does fear still dictate what you say and what you do? I don't say that to condemn anyone, but rather to cause you to ask that question. In other words, what we should be doing with every decision that we make, every thought that we think, is ask this question. Is this faith-driven or is this fear-driven? And that's a question that only you can answer. But let me assure you, if it's fear-driven, then you're in the boat by yourself. You get what I'm saying? In other words, you're paddling in the wrong direction. But if you'll come to a place of, with every decision, it's one of faith. It's one of, you've heard from Jesus. He's told you you're going to get to the other side. And you're in the boat with him. You're in that lifeboat with him. Let me assure you, you will get to the other side. Let's take a moment just to be honest right now. And this is for those watching online as well. Are you in a storm right now? And if so, just put your hand up. It could be any type of storm. See those hands raised here? I'm sure some were raised online as well. Father, right now, we see in Scripture that you were there in the midst of that storm and that you spoke and said, peace, be still. And we also know from Scripture that you gave power and authority to us as believers before you ascended into heaven, that we in turn now are to speak to our circumstances. And so, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that for those that are enduring a storm right now, that you would give them the authority and the words to speak to that storm. to bring it to calm, that they can come out the other side growing in their faith and trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your goodness, and your love towards us. And I thank you, you're with us in the storm. Whatever storms are going to come before us, whatever storms have happened, you were there. Even if we didn't acknowledge you, you were there. But Lord, I pray from this point forward that we have a greater awareness that you're with us all of the time, especially in the midst of the storm. That we can call out to you and know that you'll be there and you'll direct us and you'll guide us to get to the other side. Because on the other side were signs and wonders and miracles. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to take us to the other side.